You're listening to The Running Grind with Joseph D. Welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in. Hope everyone's staying healthy, staying safe, and grinding. You know, whatever dream it is you're chasing, whatever goal it is you're pursuing, just keep grinding. And remember, mindset is everything. Man, life has been busy. It's been a minute since I've put out an episode. I think it's like well over a month and a half, maybe 2 months. But outside of Joseph D and the Running Grind podcast, there's work, family, and now a newborn. But I had a baby girl just over a month ago. She's so precious. But, you know, some of you know how newborns go. It's eat, sleep, cry, poop, eat, sleep, cry, poop, eat, sleep, cry, and poop all throughout the day. But, you know, overall, luckily, she sleeps really easy. So my wife will kind of wake up in the middle of the night. She'll feed. Then I'll change her diaper and clean whatever I need to clean, sterilize whatever I need to sterilize, and then rock her back to sleep. And then we all go back to sleep. It's really like a 35-minute process, and it's really not that bad, but just whenever you get that interrupted sleep in the middle of the night, it does make it hard to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to get your run in. So I haven't been doing the best with that, but I'm still getting my runs in. But overall, super easy baby. Well, I don't know if she's just an easy baby or we're just seasoned pros, because this is baby number 4, so it's not our first rodeo, you know. But it's just it's amazing. I look at all my kids, and I just can't imagine life without them. But you know, when you have something, you know, newborn, a change in life, other things kind of have to take a back seat, and so the balancing act is what gets to be pretty hard. But I'm just enjoying the time. It is summer and my kids don't have school right now, so they do get to sleep in a little bit longer, which means I get to get some runs in and stay on top of this training whenever I do wake up, that is. You know, but right now I just started my second training block of the summer with long runs of 10, 12, and 14 milers in consecutive weeks. I just knocked out the 10 this past weekend, so I'm on the 12 mile on Saturday. Conversation pace, I feel like I'm kind of down into the 9:10s, 9:20s with my heart rate. Still kind of around the 128, 129 beats per minute, so I'm pretty happy with it, especially right now because these Houston temps are brutal. I mean, we're talking triple digit temps of 100, but it feels like 107. It's ridiculous. And, you know, factor in the humidity on top of it. Oh, man, it sucks. As always, if you like the content, please share us with your friends and follow us on Instagram at the.grind.effect. For brand apparel and other designs, you can go to our website at thegrindeffect.net. And if you could all do me a favor, as always, if you can rate the podcast, do a quick review, it just helps with whatever algorithms these platforms use and just really helps me in the show out. But today, we're back and we're chatting with Erica Kirkwood, a speedster out of San Antonio. She started off on the hardwood playing basketball, and you know, the cross country coaches just saw how fast she was during some of these punishment runs when you're on the basketball team, and they brought her on, and eventually she earned herself an athletic scholarship to run track and cross country in college. But you know, once college was over, her running just kind of went, she just needed a little break from it. But you know, she found a new love for distance running when one of her neighbors asked if anybody was, you know, wanting to be her running buddy. But years later, she's now an Olympic trial qualifier. She ran in Atlanta 2020. She's a Boston marathoner, and she's even podiumed with Molly Seidel before Molly was the Molly Seidel. So she's definitely up there in terms of speed. What's even more amazing is that she's been able to do this while being a mom of 3, a wife, and a full-time occupational therapist. But nonetheless, she's super humble, she's super soft-spoken, but when she gets on that course, she's a beast, like she's a lion. So sit back and let's run with Erica Kirkwood.
Welcome to The Running Grind, a podcast dedicated to finding the story behind your journey, presented by The Grind Effect. It's a lifestyle, it's a state of mind, it's a reminder that success, your success, doesn't always come easy. Here's your host, Joseph D.
How's everything going?
Good, good. My family was in town. Well, they're still in town. I got back to work, got back to my routine kind of, but today I took a short day because yesterday I just had a long day. So my job is flexible in that I can kind of just make my own schedule. So I was like, I'm just gonna take the full day off. And so here I am.
Yeah. I saw that like during COVID you went on like a road trip for like a month long. So I need a job like that.
Yes. Yes. That was pretty awesome. Yeah. So being in healthcare, well, I mean, it wasn't really because I didn't have work, but I have the flexibility. Like I just was like, yeah, I'm going to spend some time with the family. And so both my husband and I just decided, let's do this.
Is that something you can do like virtually, meet with clients and stuff?
Not really virtually. What I do, it's mostly all hands-on, but that, I mean, at that point at the pandemic, it was all hands-on. But recently I've taken a new job that is a rehab director. And so oh, wow. Since that is partially from home, yes, I can. But I do still have to do one-on-one patient care and some like for part of the time. And then the other part is a lot of recruiting, you know, marketing and getting people. So I do have like presentations and
so not only are you with doctors, but yeah. You're like, you're wearing a couple different hats.
Yeah, I am. In this role, I am. And it's my first time in like a management position. So it's just a different world.
Is it a lot of pressure? Is it high stress?
It just depends. Like if you're doing well, then nobody bothers you. But if, you know, the numbers start to go down or, you know, things like that, then they're like, hey, what do we need to do to help you? Whether they just want to be helpful and, you know, make sure that you're doing everything if you need any help. And so I have a really good supervisor who is actually a runner also.
That's awesome. And so yeah, they kind of understand.
Oh yeah. I was like, I need to train. Yeah. So he, my manager too, he's all about the marathon and he had just did a marathon in February when I was training for Boston. And so, yeah, so it's cool when you have a nice culture and things like that, but it can be stressful. I mean, there is a lot of things to do, you know, like paperwork and making sure you're checking things off, you know, because we deal with like Medicare and insurance and things like that. So,
oh man, I hate dealing with
insurance. That's the hardest part.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't know how they pay for like OTs, but, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I just always hear insurance payouts are like getting smaller and smaller every single time.
It is. We've seen that in physical therapy and occupational therapy. And, it's changing. I don't understand all the nuances and everything. I try not to, I just let the insurance departments take care of that, but I'll come back and it's challenging. Now they're like, oh, they're going to cover for X amount of visits.
Rabbit hole about
insurance. Yeah. Companies. Yeah. I try not to. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. And it just says, hey, this is insurance only covering this X amount of visits. And so I'm just kind of like, okay, what it is. It is what it is. And
it is what it is. Let's just work with what we got.
Yeah. Unfortunately. So there is other ways around it. Like, you know, going cash pay and things like that. And
oh yeah, for sure.
So yeah. Otherwise insurance is something.
Now, how long have you been like an OT?
Well, I graduated in 2012. And so since then I've been working as an OT, mostly, you know, staff OT, doing a lot of the interventions and evaluations and things like that. And then it wasn't until after I had my baby, just after the pandemic, where I took on this new role.
And you went to school in California for your graduate, right?
Yeah. I did. So I went to school in California and that's where I met my husband. It's kind of silly. I mean, one of the things that I say sometimes with my husband, he's a physical therapist. And so we met over someone's dead body in a gross anatomy lab.
Cadaver.
Yes. And so anyone's asked, like, how'd you guys meet? It's like over someone's dead body.
Yeah, they're gonna be like, excuse me, say that one more time.
Yes, no, so that's kind of a lot of, you know, the cadavers and the formaldehyde.
Isn't dissecting a cadaver like one of the craziest things in the world?
Yeah, I'm actually one who's like super squeamish when it comes to like blood and things, so I thought I would have a really hard time, but for whatever reason, like in this element, it wasn't weird. I mean, I guess there was there's no blood or anything.
It's because they drain it all out. And
yeah, so
I guess the way it was for me was that they kind of mm-hmm. just threw us in there and was like, all right, start cutting. So you don't like even have a chance to think that you're cutting open like someone's body. Yeah, that they just
I literally eat. Disassociated. They cover everything, you know, they cover all the parts except for like the part that you're working on, the arm or the leg or whatever it is. And, you know,
oh, they let it.
But we did get to the face, like, and that was weird. We did get to the face.
We got to see everything, so it's like, you know, it's kind of
all out in the open.
All out in the open. So you saw everything that they had the eyes like sewed shut. But
no, we didn't. And ours had like the faces covered like the whole time, unless you were like looking at certain things, it would cover it. So I don't know. Okay. Maybe it was
No, we got the whole big picture and it was like, all right, well, I guess hand me the scalpel. This is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you look really young. I was about to ask you like how old you are, but you said you graduated in 2012. So
2012. I know everyone says that. And when I graduated too, like every patient would be like, oh, so are you studying for this? Are you going to school for this? And in fact, I would have like students who would shadow me, or like they were doing their internship or a field work is what we call it. And they'd, and I'd be watching them, like giving them, you know, and they're like, oh, are you learning? And she's going to be good one day. She's a good teacher, isn't she? I'm like, I'm the teacher. Okay. I'm just going to sit here and watch.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I mean, and I still get that. But once I had kids, I got that. I've noticed less and less. I'm like, are they teaching me? Like, am I?
Oh my God. I used to just get away with like, you know, still having to be asked for like my card to buy like a lottery ticket or, you know, like a case of beer. And now it's like, now I get the whole, yes, sir. No, sir.
Yes, I'm
like,
sir. Oh my gosh. Yes, ma'am. You're like, oh, okay. We're in a different phase now.
Yeah. I was at the grocery store and someone was bagging my stuff and I was like, thank you. And she's like, you're welcome, sir.
I know. Wow. And that's exactly true. That's what exactly. I remember too, going into, I don't remember where it was. It was like a Walmart and there was like a Sam's Club. And I walked up, I'm like, I'm kind of interested. And they're like, well, you have to be 18. I'm like, I'm 4. Gosh.
Yeah. You look pretty young.
I think running does that. I don't know. I feel like it's the running part that just kind of keeps you young. So my mom is, well, both my parents are actually Native American. My dad, my mom's dad is Apache, and my mom's is Aztec. And so they're Spanish. And I don't know, we don't really know the whole history, but they like talk about that. And then my dad, I really don't know. They always say they're just Texan. So I'm not exactly sure, like, you know, but yeah.
So like did you have like a Native American like last name?
My parents, no, their last name is Reyes. My mom was born in Mexico.
Okay. So, no, I was thinking like Native American as in like Indian, Native American.
My grandpa has all these stories and he's like, oh, we're from this. So I don't know how like far down the line it is and stuff. And I need to do like that kind of like genealogy and to do all that, or even just like the 23andMe, like, what will I find out? Where are we from and everything? But,
want to find out? Right.
Right. Like it is kind of one of those things, but I want to find a little bit more of that history, but I just heard stories from my grandpa and, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
My mom was born in Mexico, and my dad, for as long as he can remember, is like Texan. So he's just like, we're Texan.
Now, do you speak Spanish?
I do. I'm not fluent, but my grandparents, they speak nothing but Spanish. And my mom actually, she actually was, like I said, she was born in Mexico and came to the United States when she was like in second grade, I believe. And she said that when she went to school, they like discouraged any Spanish. And so she grew up feeling like Spanish was bad. So she didn't want to teach it to me and any of her children. So she never spoke it to us, but she still communicated to her parents in Spanish. And she obviously still, she has like an accent and stuff. And so we never really spoke it, but we heard it. We constantly heard it. And so I understand it completely. And then, when I started to, I started school, I realized how important Spanish actually is. And so I just kind of forced myself to speak it. And I just have a little bit of insecurity. I'm like, I feel like I'm not saying things correctly, but
especially
I can get it done.
Especially at A&M Kingsville.
Oh yeah. 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 Huge everyone
population. Yeah. Down there.
My husband, actually, he doesn't speak a lick of Spanish. He's from the Northwest. Well, actually he was born in Hawaii. His mom is Hawaiian Chinese. And so my girls are like everything.
Just feels like, they're like a little United Nations.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, he's in the Northwest. And so when he came down to Texas, I brought him down and we were in the Valley, McAllen, well, Edinburgh. He was doing his last like rotation. And he's like, I feel like I'm doing international therapy. Everyone here speaks Spanish. I just can't even communicate to anyone. And so he was having a really hard time, and he was almost like culture shock for him. And he was like, you know, even going to the grocery store, it's like people check you out all in Spanish. And like, that's just how it is. Like,
oh my God, not even just the cultural shock. I can't even imagine like weather shock going from like Northwest to even farther down in Texas.
Yeah, he didn't complain about the weather as much. Really? Well, yeah, I mean, because we were just in school, we weren't out. I mean, he was finishing his rotation. We didn't get out too much, but once we graduated and started working, he's like, what do we do on the weekends here? Like, it's so hot. Like, you can't go anywhere. You can't go hiking. You can't do anything. And I'm like, well, you kind of got to do water sports. Let's go.
I don't even know how you're surviving now. It is like brutally hot out there.
No.
Yeah, so I'm in Houston. I know you're in San Antonio, and it's, oh my God, like
the humidity. And
yeah, gosh, even around 6 o'clock in the evening, it's still just pretty brutal.
It's pretty rough. I feel like summer training is not the easiest thing to do. And yeah.
Oh, I'm up at like 4:30, so I can be out and running by 5.
You really have to. And that's kind of what I've been doing myself, especially during marathon training. But I'm in a season right now where I'm not really doing any marathon training. So this is kind of like, oh, okay, well, like today I slept in until 7:30 and then got the kids off to school, and then 8:30 went for a run. I'm like, wow, what in the world was I thinking? And I mean, I just did a really short run, but yeah, that would not cut it if I was marathon training. Like, I would be forcing myself up and doing the things that I need to do, but
it's not training season. So we can do that, but it's also like you pay for it by running at 8 a.m. You know, you're like,
sure. Yeah. I struggled. I was like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking?
Yeah. Well, how do you like running in San Antonio? It's very like nice air to run in.
I really do like San Antonio. It's been good to me. They have tons of trails. And so if it is warmer, you know, there's it's a lot of shade and stuff, but then it's a hot box because there's no like breeze. Yeah. But it's been pretty good. I like it. We live in a really hilly area. And at first,
are you like off 281?
Kind of, we're like, yeah, on that side of, on the outside of 1604, like Stone Oak, it's like all hill country. And
okay. So, I frequent there a lot because I go to the JW Marriott.
Okay.
That little resort up there.
Yeah. I don't know if you know where that is, but I think it's off 281. I'm not
sure. Yeah, it's off 281. And well, I don't even know the intersections, but
there's I guess that's like a hillier part of San Antonio. As you get closer to downtown, maybe it's a little flatter. Yeah. But I would purposely like drive away from the hills to go like to the flat area for a while. But now I'm trying to embrace the hills. Like, I'm learning, like, okay, actually this is good for me.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're in Boston, right? I heard there's like
ascending, descending. Oh yeah. That was pretty hard. And I think, yeah, the hills, you know, really what got me was running in Atlanta was that was just straight hills. Like, I think there was, I can't remember. I want to say like almost 2000 feet of elevation gain in the marathon.
Are you talking like Atlanta as in the Olympic trials?
In the Olympic trials.
Wow. Yeah. So I was about to ask you about that. Cause I mean, I saw your times and I was like, this is like OTQ type.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah, all right, let's talk some running because, you know, we'll actually kind of get into it. So I know you just got done with a couple of races here over at Boston, and you just did Beach to Bay. That you just said that y'all won.
We did. The women's team won. Our team won. Wolfpack Running is basically the group that I always do all the relays with. They're all about the relays. And so we'll jump on a bunch of them. And
are they based out of San Antonio as well?
They are. And so we always like to do some relays. And when you go to these relay races, you'll know Wolfpack because it seems like everyone's wearing a Wolfpack jersey, singlet. I think this last time we had like 18 teams.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So they roll deep.
Wow. And that's your running club.
Yeah, it is. Actually, one of my really good friends from before the Wolf, and I don't know if I've said this to a lot of people, but before the Wolf Pack was the Wolf Pack, it was the Pony Express. Oh, nice. So it was I was in college, and my good friend kind of founded it, and it was just a bunch of people from Kingsville. He was in a school at Kingsville with us. Alex, he started it up, and then I moved. That's when I moved back to the Northwest and came back, and I was like, oh, Alex, you're in San Antonio. That's where we're moving. Are the ponies still going? He's like, hey, it's the wolf pack.
Yeah. Like, they went from like really fast stallions to alpha predators.
Yes. And they're awesome.
So give me a breakdown of beach to bay, because that just sounds like a cool
experience. Have you done it? What do you know? Do you know anything about beach to bay?
I don't know. I had a friend who ran it, but other than like the name in and of itself, like I don't know much about the actual race itself.
Oh my goodness. I've done this race since high school, actually. My first time doing it, I think, was with my high school coach. The coach that got me all started with running was like, let's put a team together. And so we did it, and it was awesome. And I've loved it since. And then when I went to college, I started doing it with Alex and his Pony Express. And I was, you know, we've done it so many times. And basically it's five legs, different lengths. Like some of them are like four, some of them are like five. I'm not exactly sure what, you know, because I don't even know if it changes, but they're varying. And I think I've done every single one of them at one point. And then, yeah, so you hand off like a little baton and you go the length of a marathon. And then the race too, you can do it as a full, you can do it as a half, like two person relay, and then this five person relay. And so, and then they have every category under the sun. Like they have, you know, the women's, mixed, masters, they have like a military and corporate, like they just have every single kind of category. And so
now, is that a point to point race, or is it like a big
group? It is. You start on the beach, and so the first leg's always on sand, so that's always the hardest leg. It's like super soft, and so we put our sand person or whoever's the strongest.
Yeah, that's not me.
Yeah, that's the, it literally is the hardest. It's the shortest distance, I think it's like just under 4 miles, or maybe just over 4 miles, but it's all on sand. And so
now, is it the sand is in like the one you're building sand castles with, or is it like the sand closer to the water where there's a little bit of like,
you know, I think the 1 year I did it, it was a little close to the water, but I've heard it changes sometimes. So okay. I think this year too, they did it like an out and back a couple. I don't know. They change it sometimes. The majority of the race is always the same. But for whatever reason, it was a little different this time. So I don't know, cause I don't do the race. I mean, I didn't do the beach part this time, but
yeah.
The 1 year I did it way back when, I believe it was like a mix, like it was like kind of soft and then kind of like a little bit packed, but it was still hard. So yeah. And then there's, you know, the rest of the legs that do it. So super fun. The atmosphere is just great. And
that's in Corpus, right?
It's right in Corpus. And so, yeah, that was a fun one. And it actually, that was our first time winning it.
That's so awesome. So when you say win, what was your, like the overall time?
252 or 53. I can't remember. Actually, well, just a little side note, we did, well, I guess this kind of can open up a little bit of a thing. I did do it 1 year, but we got disqualified because I did two legs, and I didn't realize that we're supposed to not do two legs. I thought it was a disadvantage, you know, it was like, oh, one of our
people. Because I can't go full speed for my entire leg.
Yeah. And we still won. That's like,
wow. So they really like heart, like look down on, like they really check that out.
No, well, sure. See that here's the thing is there's no way that anyone would have ever known that I did two legs. In fact, I've done two legs multiple times. It was just a little bit of a hiccup because this was supposed to be a friendly competition. It was two San Antonio teams.
Oh, one was,
yes. So, so what happened was, it was friendly competitions, two San Antonio teams. But one wasn't Wolfpack, but I knew them. They were supposed to be my friends, and you know, everything was like, oh, cool. Like this is friendly competition. Like there's no money on the line. There's like, it's just, you like
bragging, get a little
bragging rights. So anyways, I confided in these people saying like, oh man, like I might have to do two legs. Like, oh, the other team was like, oh man, that, oh wow. Like, just be careful, like take a lot of water, like, you know, giving me all sorts of tips and just, you know, if you have to do it, like, you know, and this was right before I was going to do the Olympic trials, like the June marathon. Well, anyway, so that was just like a couple days before, saying like I'm even telling them like, this is what I might have to do.
And they're
And I was like, yeah, like, and you know, I mean, in my head, like I've done it before. I didn't read the rules or anything, but I'd go and do the race and finish it. Not only did I just do one leg and then like a break, rest, recover, and then do another, I did them back to back because I had a long run that day. And I was like, I'm just going to do it all once, because if I stop, I'm not going to want to keep doing it. So I just did it all. I did a 20 miler that day. I started at my leg 2 and 3, passed the baton at 4. And then I kept going to do my 20 miler.
Oh, I was about to say, I was like leg 2 and 3 total 20 miles.
No. I did leg 2. I started at leg 2, did it. And then I did leg 3. I just passed. Nobody, like, there's no tip. I don't know. There's nothing that you would know where that I did the 2, like, unless you saw me, like, okay. And I just kept going. And then I gave the baton at the next leg, at leg 4. So I did 2 and 3 and gave it at 4. And then I just kind of kept running along.
Yeah, doing your own thing.
Yeah. And so at the end of it, I was so stoked about how solid of a 20 miler I did in my buildup. This is a month before or so before my June grandma's marathon. And at the end, I find my competitive friends, we beat them by like 10 minutes or something. And I see them, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I did my 20 miler. And so I'm telling, they're like, but did you do 2 legs? And I'm like, yeah, like how crazy, right? And okay, cool. Like, you know, and I'm hanging out, you know, the whole like after party. And then I had to leave early because I have to go home because I have kids and everything. So I didn't get to stay for the awards, and I rarely ever do stay for the awards. And then, cause that's just how it is for me with kids and stuff. So anyways, as I was like driving back to San Antonio, I'm like, here, look, oh, we got disqualified because we got 2 legs, and we actually had to disqualify ourselves. So because they told on us, wow. The people were like, they were like, well, we can't do anything. It's just your word. We can't just disqualify unless they're willing to disqualify and like admit and say they did 2 legs and disqualify themselves. And this group, the second place finishers, were very angry and mad because I did 2 legs. I cheated. Rules are rules. Making a scene in the after party.
Oh my gosh.
And so my team was just kind of like, okay, well, disqualify yourself because this is supposed to be a family friendly thing and you guys are making a scene. So lo and behold, we got disqualified. And that's the story of how, anyways, there's
pictures. Wait, so are y'all still friends?
No.
Yeah. Just because, yeah, I mean.
I tried. So not, gosh, since we're going all the time, like I showed up to run their run. Like, I guess, oh, it's so hard without saying too much. I don't want to like.
Yeah, throw anybody
like
under
water under the bridge. This was back in 2019. It's water under the bridge now, but just because I'm like, we just won Beach to Bay. So it's like, it's a bittersweet because I'm like, this is our first time actually winning. Well,
that's really the second time.
Yeah. So like I show up to run and it just, things were weird. Like they won and everything, but they were still like not happy with me. So I don't know why they were mad at me.
All the while you're standing there next to them, telling them like, I think I'm.
Yeah. Like they didn't even tell me like, oh, we're going to, this is not fair. Y'all broke rules or anything. Like I'm like happy about like, look at my 20 miler.
Yeah. You're not even like worried about that. You're just like,
I like wasn't even thinking twice about like, hey, we won. Like, no, I was just all proud of my 20 miler. Like, hey, be proud of me. Like I'm about to OTQ. Like, you know, this was my goal. That's my real goal. This is my,
yeah. Well, you I guess there's always two sides to every story and we'll have to get one of them on here eventually. And yeah, you know, share that side. But yeah, no, that sucks. Cause if, especially if there's no money on the line, it's just all like pride. And
I would get it if it was money on the line or if it was like super close, like, you know, like maybe it was super close and you know what I mean?
Yeah. A couple minutes, like 2.
I would
minutes.
Like to hear their side of the story because I feel like I don't have closure. Like,
yeah.
Think what was the deal? All right.
So if one of them is listening, reach out to me and let's like, settle this and make this one big running community again. Let's okay, bring everybody back together.
Yes. Sorry. I'm sharing all like the drama.
That's awesome. I mean, congratulations on winning, but yay. You know, like you said, it's kind of bittersweet because it's not really your first time winning.
Yeah, but it's our first like real podium that we actually earned. Well, I think we podiumed before. We've gotten like second and third, you know. But
have you ever thought about doing the Texas Independence Relay?
You know, I have. I've thought about that. I've seen it. People do it. And for whatever reason, I've just never been able to, like either it was just too much for my training, or, you know, because I've always been very focused on marathon and like, this is my big race. Like, so doing like something like that, I feel like would really like, it's a lot. So,
and since I'm mom of three, so
yeah, it's hard.
You're gone the whole weekend.
The whole week. Yeah. And there's hard, it's hard enough to go for a couple of hours. So much less. So it just hasn't been in the cards for me, but I've thought about that, even doing like ultras and things like that. Like I have just not, just because of the length of time to do the race on the weekend or the training. And things
I'm not nowhere near your level of speed, but I'm doing my first like ultra in February, a 50K, just to kind of like dip my toe in the water and just say that I did one. But
awesome.
I think that's going to be more of like an endurance thing for me to just finish than it is going to be for me to actually get like a certain time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. But I think that's good. And I hear that like, it's not that much more training than a marathon as far as, you know, some of those ultras, but.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess if you want to go like a 50 miler or 100 miler, that's a different thing. But
that's a different thing, right? I feel
50K, 31 miles, it's not too far from a 26.2.
Yes, yeah.
So before we get into like even Boston, let's kind of just like rewind it back, because you're obviously an OTQer, and let's talk about how it all started, because you said in high school there was a coach that kind of got you into it, right?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because I always say this, and it's like, running was a punishment, right? You know, I was a basketball player, believe it or not. I wanted to be a basketball player, and we were in trouble or something, and I was caught running, you know, and I was keeping up with like cross country girls. And so the cross country coach was like, you need to be running.
Yeah, what are you doing over there? Come over. Come
yeah, exactly. Over. You have something, right? And I was like, no, do you know why I was running all these? Like, you know, it's because we're in trouble. Like, why would I choose to do this? And so I feel like a lot of people, I've said that to some people, they're like, oh yeah, that was me too. So I'm sure a lot of people relate to like that. And the only reason I actually, so cause he, my coach kept asking, he was like, he went as far as like reaching out to my parents, and my parents was like, crazy coach calling and asking.
Oh my God. So they really wanted you on the team.
Yeah, they did. And so I was like, no, I know. I kept saying no the whole season until the end, the very last cross country meet was a district meet. It was in our hometown. And he says, hey, Erica, do you want to do it? I'm like, no. He's like, it's on Friday. You can miss school. And I'm like, oh, sign me up. I'm leaving. And so on Friday, he like shows up. He's like, you ready? I'm like, bye, everybody. I'm going to go run cross country.
Yeah.
For that reason, I got in. And then that race, I ended up running it, you know, never trained or anything. I did the 2 miles and I finished like in the top 10. And of course, like in cross country, you get acknowledged, right? You get like awards if you're top 10. I got a medal and they called me up. I'm like, wow, like
you're like, ooh,
I never get this kind of recognition in basketball. Like,
yeah,
like I never got anything, you know. And so I'm like, I think I'm hooked. And so he's like, hey, he like pulled me aside. He's like, hey, if you actually train, like you could probably get like top three, if not win. Like you can win some of these races. And I'm like, no way. And he's like, not only that, like you can get a scholarship to college. And I had never even thought of going to college. Actually, I was like, what? There's more school after high school, because my
yeah. Didn't. Is there 13th grade?
Yeah, right. What is it? 13th grade? Like, no. I feel like I was so like naive. Like, well, I mean, I really didn't know what I was gonna do after high school. My parents, neither one of them like went to college, and so I was like, oh, what is this college? And so I started learning a little bit about it.
And I think you ended up with a scholarship, right?
I did.
Now, was that a cross country or a track scholarship?
Uh-huh. Both. I went, actually, yeah, I got.
Now, was that like a full ride? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, that's
everything.
Awesome.
Everything was paid for. And then I had other scholarships. So I think I had like extra, you know.
Were you like a pretty studious kid? Like, did you get some academic scholarships?
Yeah. I was on the honor, like, you know, I made the dean's list in college and all of that. It was all about doing, yeah, I was that student athlete, you know, and working. I had like a little work study job, and it was fun. I had no social life, but I was doing what was important to me.
Now, did you have to maintain a certain GPA in order to get those scholarships, or was that just something?
Yeah, but it was very like you just have to get like C's or something.
Oh, nice. Yeah, but man.
I was trying to get
some of those scholarships.
I don't know. It was the athletic scholarship is pretty lenient. I don't think Well, I mean, I don't know. I never had any issues. So I'm assuming it was like C's, because I had some other friends who were kind of struggling, but it was like C's they had to get keep or something.
So in college, what were your events for track and cross country?
So cross country, it was the, I think it's the 5K. You know, my memory is so terrible. But because I think actually the conference cross country is like 6K or something. And then in track, I did the 1500 was actually my favorite. I did the 800 a couple of times, but it was mostly the 1500. And then I think we did a 3K. I did the steeplechase also.
Oh, you know what? I never knew what that was, but now that I know what it is, I'm like, that's a pretty cool event.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I have that. I have the school record for the 3000 steeplechase.
Did you watch the past Olympics where like Emma Coburn was like one of the favorites, but.
Yes, she was one of my favorites and I was kind of disappointed, but
you know what, that's the hard thing about racing. Like you can train and be at like the top of the game, but you just don't know what's going to happen on race day.
You never know. That's why you always show up, even, you know, you just never know.
Yeah.
And just, you know, because if you, yeah, that's kind of funny that you say that the favorite. When I was in high school and track, I was not the favorite. For a state meet, our state meet in the 1600 meters. Like, I think I had the very last time. Like, it was like, I had barely, I don't know how I made it in there or something. I mean, and so there was the favorites all there, but I ended up getting second place. And so,
oh, really?
Yes. So that's my thought on that. Like, sometimes you just never know. Like, you always just show up.
Yeah. I mean, you might have the adrenaline or the wind at your back, just that perfect angle.
I PR'd like by like 15 seconds that day.
Like, and 15 seconds in running is not like,
yeah, the shorter the distance,
a little bit of time.
I know. And it was also special because that was my coach's last. He was retiring, so it was his last, and he like got me started. So it was cool.
Did you do indoor track too?
Yeah. We did.
How is it running on that indoor track? Because it's like a curved, isn't it?
It's like slanted. It's banked. Yeah. It's like, it's weird. It's interesting. And it's so short. So you're doing a million laps.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's like a 200 meter like circle.
Now, do you have to keep track of your own like laps or?
They keep track of it. But if you're not up in the top, like I feel like people will end up lapping you.
Yeah.
So I've always been like awful at keeping laps. Even on like a regular traps. So those shorter distance one is like, that's even worse. Yeah. I'm always one like losing count. I'm trying to run with like holding like something like my fingers and trying to count.
So you've been pretty fast kind of from the get-go, even when you were like a basketball player too.
Yeah. There's been some natural running. My mom says I started running at 9 months. It's like you were up and running since you from the womb, but like I started walking like pretty early and
I was running too, but it was mainly to the fridge. Because you got some pretty sick times. Like your 5K is like a 17:45, which I mean that's got to be just barely a shade above 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You got a 10K of a 36:23. Your half is a 1:18, which is. And then you got your marathon, which is 2:44:48, which that is obviously OTQ territory.
Well, yeah, it was OTQ. Now that they've increased that standard, I'm like, ugh.
What is it now?
It's 2:36, I believe.
Oh my gosh, man. That's like a whole like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it like 2:46 or something like that?
It was 2:45.
2:45.
They increased it. And I was like, I knew I had a hunch that they were going to change it, and I was like, oh yeah, I think they'll probably go like 2:39. That's what was my guess. Yeah. I was so shocked when they went down to like, I think it's 2:36. I don't know, it's something ridiculous.
So right out of like college, were you doing, did you just kind of get into the 5K 10Ks, or did you go straight for like the halves and fulls?
No, so after I left, I was a little bit burnt out from college. Like they run you to the ground.
By the way, in college, did you ever get like not eating disorders, but like did you ever have like a bad relationship with food?
No, actually I've never really had. I don't know. I guess it's hard to say. I don't think I've ever had any difficulty with food or like if anything, my family would tell me like you're not eating it, like you're just not. I'm like, I'm eating plenty. Like, you know, I don't know. I just Yeah, I don't know. I eat a lot. I feel like
maybe you just have one of those good metabolisms.
Yeah. Like I've never felt like I couldn't eat something or restricting, or I never felt insecure about my body. If anything, I felt like I was too thin. So I would try purposely to eat more. Because my family would tell me, like, you're like too thin. I'm like, let me go eat more. Like,
give me some Oreos. Hold up.
Yes, I would do like milkshakes and like eat everything. Honestly, like, the way I ate in college wasn't terrible. Like, I just like constantly eating fast. It's just like, yeah. So I'm surprised. And so I feel like my nutrition has gotten better. Like, I'm eating better. Like, as far as like, I'm not eating a bunch of fast food, and like, I literally would eat. Drink milkshakes so much. And I had because they gave me room and board, which is like the free meals at the school. And so I was like eating everything, and it was like unlimited.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just a foodie. I'm a foodie. That's what I would say. But anyways, yeah, I think my husband actually is he's a little bit more health conscious and just like, he's vegetarian actually. And I'm not, or I wasn't. And so, since he does most of the cooking, so he's kind of just.
Now, is he like pescatarian, or is he just more plant-based?
Plant-based. Yeah. Plant-based, vegan, some like 90% of the time. And occasionally we'll have like cheese and anything like that. So. And that's more me. I'm like, I love cheese and eggs. And so like, I'll eat that stuff when I want to eat it. But, that's just how he was raised. And that's what he eats. But he will, like, because of me now, he'll also eat a little bit of chicken and like other things that I eat.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure you need the protein, right?
Yeah. Like, he does really good. He's the cook of the household. So I'm not going to complain as long as he's cooking it and it's good. So.
Yeah, just as long as you cook, I'm a shoot.
Yeah, and so
you know it for me.
I would say now I'm mostly vegetarian. Yeah, so
yeah, I try not to eat too much meat. I'm more pescatarian than anything.
Yeah, it's good. I like food. I'm not gonna say no if it's there. Like, if we ever go somewhere, especially if we're going out to eat, or if we're going over to someone's house and they're feeding us, I'm not gonna be like, no, I don't eat that.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy it. So
I need to learn how to quit eating chocolate chip cookies. Cause man, that is like my vice. Like, I have to, I feel like I have to eat one every night. Like, and it's not even, I don't know. It's not even like the processed ones. It's like, you know, the freshly baked ones.
Oh gosh. Well, those are amazing. So if you can resist those, then you're a rock star. Cause I can't.
Oh, trust me. Like, what I eat in private definitely shows in public.
Yeah. I know. So
when did you kind of start getting into like more like longer distances?
So, well, that's the funny that you asked, because after college, I was like a little bit tired, just not really focused in running. I wanted to I was going to grad school. I was going to go get my master's degree. And I said, you know, it is hard to be a student athlete. I'm going to just finally get to be actually just a student and just focus on my studies and things. And it would just be easier. And that's just kind of what I, and so. Went to grad school. And so I kind of just took it off. Like, I didn't even race for several years.
Oh, really?
But I still ran here and there, like nothing serious, but people would be like, oh, are you going to ever do a marathon? I said, no, what for? I've in college, like I ran 24 miles on like training runs, you know, over the summer. So I was like, I know I could do it. Like, what's the point? Like, I just had no desire. But it wasn't until one of my friends, in school, she was actually training for a marathon. I'm like, well, I like to run, so I'll just go run with you. But my thought was like, I'm never going to run more than 6 miles. And well, she was like, well, I'm doing like, you know, 10 or this, and then the long run. And I was like, well, I just want company. I mean, sure, let's just hang out, I guess, socialize. And so I just use that a little bit more social. And I started doing a little bit more miles. And she's like, hey, I'm training for this marathon. You should do it. And I always decide like, no, I don't think so. But I was actually training. I mean, I was actually going on a mission trip to Africa. Wow. And she says, yeah, she says, you can use this as like a fundraiser. And I don't really know. I just kind of like, okay, yeah, like we'll raise money like for every mile I do, like some people donate. So I was kind of like promoting it that way. And I raised the money I needed and by doing all these miles. So I really only, you know, ran the miles I was getting donated. I wasn't following any plans. I wasn't doing anything. The most I ran was 18 miles. And then we go to do this race and she didn't even she didn't even run it because she got sick that night. She dropped me off at the front. She's like, I'm really sick. And so she didn't even run it. So I know, I was like really disappointed because she's the one who like encouraged me, motivated me. And she even paid for my entry because she really wanted me to run it. And so I felt a little bad. I was like, well, that's terrible. Yeah. So anyway,
it's like, well, I don't have to run it too. She's like, no.
Yeah, I was almost like, well, if you're sick, then I should just not even run it. But I had the fundraiser. I had to do it. So I ran it.
And then you
it.
Kill it on your first marathon.
It was, my first one was like 3:47. I actually looked up my results whenever you'd ask. So I was like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what was that time? But it was terrible. Like I remember feeling good for about 18 miles and then, as far as how I felt,
yeah,
you know, I stopped at 18 miles. I was like, I'm done. And so I walked a lot of it. Yeah. Every state. Cause well, here's the other thing is I had no idea there's like nutrition behind marathoning. I just went, I lined up like just with my shoes that I had on, nothing on my hand. In fact, I passed several water stations, not like, I don't need water.
Yeah.
Running. I literally didn't stop, I think, until like mile 18. I'm like, I think I need water.
And then you hit the wall.
I hit the wall. Like the wall was terrible. It was fierce. It was not nice to me. So I walked a whole bunch of it. But
you
I
finished 3:47.
Yeah, but I think I started off really good, like 7-something pace for good 18 miles. So the rest I kind of walked off.
So did that just kind of like fuel the fire a little bit? Like light
no,
fire?
I finished that and I was like, I'm never doing another again. I literally was like, no. Like I looked at my feet. I'm like, people do this for fun. Like,
yeah, this is miserable.
It was just literally like, why would anybody choose to put themselves through this? I was not happy. I went home with sore. My feet were blistered and I never did another marathon. I never ran. I went to Africa for 7 months. And not only that, I rolled my ankle there. So I couldn't even run if I wanted to. But I came home, finished school, got married, had kids, still no thought of running seriously until I had my babies and my husband kind of noticed like, something was up with me. Like I wasn't myself, but I was kind of like, well, no, we have a child and this is just my life now. Like everything for the baby, you know, I can't do anything else. Life is hers. Like, yeah. I kind of put a lot of pressure on myself. And if I thought about going for a run or even to the gym or something just to go away, I felt guilty. Because she needed me and she didn't want anybody, nobody, or I thought that nobody else could take care of her like I could. My husband was like, go, oh, I got her. I'm like, no, you don't. she needs me. And she wanted me, but it's only because I was there. but he kind of forced me. He forced me to go run. And he's like, you need to do something for yourself. And so luckily some neighbors of mine, as I had just moved to this area, a new area, this was when we were living in the Northwest. Someone posted on the neighborhood app, like, hey, I'm looking for some running friends. And I'm like, oh, I guess this is a sign. I can run with you. And so I started and it was like, I had to wake up super early. Cause I was telling my husband, like, when am I going to run? You know, I was working full time. And so we would go like at 5:30, I'd get back, you know, at 6:30, get ready, get the baby ready, take her to daycare. I'd go to work, pick her up, you know, so it was
I bet you were tired.
I was tired, but I noticed though, when I was running, I'm like, wow, I feel a little bit more, you would think I was more tired, but it gave me energy. And I'm like, wow, I kind of like this. And so I kept running with this group and this group kind of grew, like it was just me and her and maybe one other person. But by the like 2 months into it, we kept posting on this neighborhood. I was like, we're running, we're meeting, you know? And so it grew to like 6 or 7 people in this little inner little neighborhood. And so we would just go run. It was very nice. and then still never thought of the marathon, never even thought of races. Cause I was just kind of running for me and just running. And, they started talking about races and I was like, well, maybe I'll do a half marathon. So I signed up for a half and I finished it. I don't even remember my time. Cause I was just not, you know, I would just go.
It wasn't important to you.
It wasn't important to me. I was just running. I'm like, oh, I got the medal. Cool. I didn't. So people ask, what were your times? Like you just said, this marathon, this fall that I did the first one, I didn't even remember my time because like, I don't know. Because it's just, I'm just doing it for other reasons than the time. And so, well, that was in the Northwest. And then it was like 2 or 3 months of solid, like, oh, I'm running and I'm feeling good and I'm feeling happy. And Because I was kind of, looking back on it now, I think I was going through like postpartum depression, not realizing it, because I don't think I would have acknowledged, because people would be like, well, is everything okay? Like, or my husband would be like, something's wrong. I'm like, no, this is just my life. This is what we're doing. We just, you know, anyway.
Yeah, you don't even know that it's happening.
You don't know it's happening. So I didn't realize, I just assumed like, no, this is the new normal and put up with it, you know? But I didn't realize that it could be any different. So anyway, I think it was mostly just because I put a lot of pressure on myself and like felt really guilty if I did certain things, but I'm so thankful for my husband. So he got me to start running. Like, I want to say it was like in August and then September. And I was using all the while just kind of like an app to track my, so for my birthday, he bought me my first Garmin, and I was still like, I'm not really,
what is this for?
What is this for? And I'm not that serious. Like, I didn't. So he bought it for me in November and I didn't open it till January.
Oh, wow.
Because I didn't think I was going to stick with it. And I didn't think I was that serious. And I was
just
like,
return it. I don't think I need this.
Yeah. And I was like, it's too expensive. Like, no. So he bought it for me and I didn't open it until January. And it was for my first, we moved down. So the reason why he bought it for me in November and we were moving away, and I'm like, my group, my running community, like I'm not going to have anybody else to run with if we move and everything. So I was really disappointed and thinking, well, I'm not going to keep this up. So I'm definitely not going to open it, because we moved in a little after my birthday back to Texas. And so I was like, well, maybe I will find a group. So that's when I reached out to the Pony Express, who's now the Wolfpack. And he's like, oh yeah, you'll find some running people here. I'll introduce you and all of that. And so, that I moved, I got here around December, and he's like, well, we have a 5K we're going to do on January 1. You want to do it? And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to open up my watch and I'm going to start running. So finally, my very first run I tracked on my watch was on January 1 for the January 1 race. And so I ran that race with them, and that was my first time like with the Wolfpack and meeting people.
Did you smoke them all?
On that race, like, yeah. How did I do? I believe I did win it, actually. I'm like, yeah, I hadn't, like, I ran, you know, I was running there, and it was like, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I did win. Now that I
think this girl hasn't ran for like X amount of years, and she goes in and wins this thing.
That was like one of my first bikes. Yeah, I did win it. And so Alex, my friend, was like, yeah, you're back. Woo-hoo. Like, let's do this. Let's get back. He introduced me to a whole bunch of people, and started running, and I still, all the while, still not interested in the marathon, but the people that he introduced me to were all about the marathon. And I'm like, what is this? This is a cult. No, they were all like, we're training for Boston. And so I'm like, well, I'll do the workout, like some of the workouts, I'll train for a half. And
it was contagious, so, right? Like just being around that.
So yeah, it was the end. I started running with him and then found myself on a Wednesday morning doing 13 miles. Like, what am I doing? like it just kind of happened to me. I didn't seek it out. It just kind of happened because I was surrounded by it. It sucked me in.
Yeah.
And so they were like, Erica, you're already doing marathon training. We're about to do Boston here. Just sign up for something. So I changed my September race that I had planned from the half marathon to the marathon. And that was my first marathon I did. And that was with training. Yes.
So. And you killed that one with the 302.
With the 302. And I won the whole thing.
And you won the whole thing. Man, like that's incredible.
That was where I learned, like, I have some kind of something here. There's something to this.
Did you get that like runner's high super quick?
Yeah, I guess I do. It takes me like a while though. It doesn't happen like as soon as I hit the pavement. Like it takes me a good 20 or 30 minutes. Then I'm like, wow, this feels amazing. But after this marathon, I was like, well, I can do some more. Like, because my initial goal at this marathon was just to BQ. And because I just kept training and just getting faster in my training, my friends around me kept just saying like, you can get faster. Like just improve your goal. Like your goal's too easy. They would say I'm sandbagging. I don't know if you've ever heard of that term.
What year was that first marathon?
2018, I believe. Yes. Because I'm 2018 in September.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then rolls around 2019 and you do the Rock and Roll San Antonio and you actually make the podium with some like legit, you're legit yourself, but some like well-known.
Oh my goodness. Well, runners. She actually wasn't really well-known actually. Like
at the time,
I don't think she got famous after that. Like, I mean, I guess she was, but I don't know if she was as, you know, like,
maybe she was like an up and comer.
Oh, Molly Seidel's here. Like, you know, I mean, I knew she was a good runner, but I feel like I didn't know of her. And I don't know if a lot of people knew of her until that maybe, or I don't know, because that was her marathon. I mean, she had never run a marathon.
Oh, that was
so
her
she
debut.
Might have been like well-known for like shorter distances or something. I'm not 100% sure what her history was like before that.
For those of you that missed it, we're talking about Molly Seidel. Like she, Erica and Molly both podiumed at the Rock and Roll San Antonio 2019, in which Molly won and you got third, right?
I got third. Well, and she beat me by like a whole, like a lot. So it's not like I was like right there, but there was a big gap between first and then second and third.
Like knowing that now and seeing her like at the Olympics, getting bronze.
Gosh.
Were you just like, holy crap, I ran a race with...
I was on the podium with you. Like what? You know, I mean, I knew she was special there because of her, how well she did. Like she was, I think her time was like a 1:10 and mine was like 1:18. So we knew she was special, but I just didn't know of her. And I know that she had a lot of, you know, she's had a lot of step backs before doing this race and, you know, doing that. So now knowing that now, but yeah, cause I met her and she was just so like laid back and chill. She was hanging out with us in the VIP tent afterwards and just like hanging out with my kids. She's like talking to the kids and just so friendly, such a down to earth kind of person. Like, I don't know if you follow her on Instagram, follow her. Cause she's also so funny.
Oh really? Yeah. No, I have to, I mean, I do follow her. Sometimes my timelines get wish, you know, sometimes I see people's stories and sometimes people I don't.
Yeah, she's so funny. And so she's got a great sense of humor. And
do you know what you got at that marathon?
What I got as far as my time?
Yeah, at that Rock and Roll. Because 2019, you weren't too far away from like OTQing, I think, at Grandma's, right?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. I think that had already OTQed. I want to say, because I did Grandma's in 2019. So I had just OTQ'd. So this was right before the trials.
Oh, wow. So this was like a tune-up race for you.
Yeah, it was one of the tune-up races. It was in December. Then I had Atlanta in 2020.
What was that experience like? Because that was literally the last race before the world shut down.
Yeah, it was. That kind of was shocking because, well, the kids were off of school. We were traveling and we did an extra week and we came back. And we just never went back to work and we never took the kids back. So it was just very strange, but it was like, what? That was the last race. I'm so happy that it happened when it did, because that would have been so disappointing.
I had four previous guests who also ran that race. And I am going to ask, what did you do? Did you keep your alpha flies?
Yeah, I have them.
Yeah. Do you like running in those shoes, or do you have like your own set shoes that you like to run in?
I don't really care for them so much.
Yeah. What are you running?
I like the Next Percents. Those are nice for me. I like those. I don't know. I haven't run in the Alpha Flies so much, so I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I've given them enough, like a chance, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'll probably try them again, because I did run in them in Boston. So I'm like,
is a 2:44 marathon, is that kind of like your, is that like a normal time for you at this point?
Well, I mean, I did that right before, I did that at my peak in June. And then I did the marathon in Atlanta and it was like, I think it was a 2:59, but of course that was such a hilly course.
That was a tough course.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was happy. I was like, oh, I broke three. So that's great.
Yeah.
So I don't know, because I haven't ran that time in a while, but then of course I got pregnant right after. And then I just did,
was that baby number three?
That's baby number three. Yeah. So I got pregnant literally, right after the marathon trials.
Were you pregnant during the marathon trials?
No, right after.
Yeah. So right after.
Got pregnant right after.
Heck of a celebration then.
Well, my husband had been waiting. Like, he's like, he'd been wanting, if it was up to him, he would have had the baby. Like, and he was all, you could be pregnant. Like, there was a couple people that were like 8 months pregnant, or like, I don't know, 6 months pregnant, like running the Olympic trials. And he's like, you know, you're not, you really, what your goal, what is your goal? Like, at the marathon trials anyway. Like, he was trying to convince me to just like, let's get pregnant and you can just be pregnant while you run. Like, it's been, like, no. So he had to be patient. And so we got pregnant after that. And then, of course, it was all the pandemic. So I didn't, you know, how that went. There was not really any races anyway. So it was actually a perfect time to be pregnant. And then I had the baby in February of 2022. No, 2021.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Yeah. So, cause she just turned a year and she's like a year and a half now. And so then, yeah, so she had it, had her, and then, so just kind of building back, you know, post-marathon, I mean,
postpartum,
you know, I was very laid back about it. I wasn't like stressed about like, I need to get back to fitness and I need to get back to, so I don't feel like it was very tough for me. I didn't struggle with a whole lot. I had a really easy pregnancy, a nice delivery. Actually, the delivery was super fast. I don't know if it had anything to do with me just running through the pregnancy. I literally, like, yeah, I ran 4 miles like the day before.
Wow.
Delivered, and she came so fast. Like, I literally, I had her at a birthing center, and I almost had her in the car though. Like, she was ready. And I
did you do like a water birth at the birthing
yeah,
center?
I did. Oh, did I did really? A water birth, and she literally came. I had to like really like hold back because she was going to come in the car, and this was over the snowstorm.
Oh, in February. Yeah. Snowpocalypse.
Yep. On February, she was born on February 14th, which was when everything iced up here. It was, everything was shut down. My husband actually, because we're from the Northwest, it was like the whole time I was laboring inside, he was like putting chains on the car because it was like icing. I'm like, we don't need this. But anyway, yeah, it was.
Yeah, your president was probably like, don't sneeze or this baby's coming out.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was crazy. He put chains on the car and we don't, because it was icy and we live in like a pretty hilly area. And I was like, I basically labored all by myself. Like, he was out there doing stuff. The girls woke up, my girls woke up, and he was like trying to feed them breakfast. I was like, just take them to the neighbors, because our neighbor was going to watch the kids.
Were you prepared to give birth to this baby on your own?
Well,
like, if I forgot to do it.
She came a week early. And I almost did. I was almost was like, I should just deliver her here. Like, what's the, I was already thinking of how quick it came on. I was like, there's no way I can sit in the car because I can't sit down. Like, that, I didn't buckle in. I was just like, I don't even know how he got me there. But I remember, like, cause there's nobody on the roads, icing, you know, it's, I think it was like 6 a.m. or something.
I'm surprised, you know, there was someone at the birthing center that made it in.
Well, we called her, she's a midwife, so she like just got there. In fact, I was like, can you come to my house? Like, just, and she told me too, like, she could come to her house, but for whatever reason, she couldn't, that because of the ice, I guess. I know, she's like, it's close, I don't know. And so it was like a 10-minute drive to the, it's normally like 5 minutes, but because of the ice or whatever. So we were going super slow and I'm like, we need to hurry up. And there's like nobody on the roads. And there's this one light on the way to the birthing center that's like it's like a neighborhood. And then, and on the other side, it's a library. I'm like, nobody's here. It's a red light. Let's just go. Yeah. So it was like real dramatic. I know, why are we stopping? So it's like, she's gonna come. And I literally got to the birthing center and then like 1 minute she was born.
Wow.
Like, not even there.
That's incredible.
Yeah, she had the pool, like the tub ready, and I just got in there and I was like, let her rip.
Yeah, no, I've seen those done before, and it's wild. That
it was wild. It was wild, but it's fun, it was perfect. I wouldn't change it.
Yeah. It's great. So yeah, you work your way back, and then your first race post baby is McAllen.
So that was my first marathon. I actually started training. You know, I did the whole postpartum rehab with a women's health physical therapist. I was very cautious about how safe I was and how I felt going back into the running. And so she made sure that I was nice and ready, got back to it. And I started with the short distance races. And in fact, I had, I think it was 5 months. I had my fastest 5K road 5K postpartum. So it's like, what? I PR'd and I was at 5 months, you know.
That was a 1745.
In the 5K. No, that was, so that was a, that's track. I believe, I have to look back. I posted about it. So if I really wanted to, I'd have to go back and look at my time, but I remember talking about it being my PR. And so it was my fast, well, it was my fastest 5K road PR. And of course, I don't do a lot of road race. I mean, 5Ks and things like that. So did that 5K. Then I did like a half marathon, maybe. I don't remember how far into the pregnancy it was. But then I did January when she was like 11 months. And that was my first marathon. Yeah.
And you won.
And I won it. And the whole thing. I won. Well, not overall, like just women's. The women's.
Okay. Still, yes. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, not only that, side note, I did an extra mile. I took a wrong turn.
And you still won the women's?
Yes. Yes. Well, it was, I guess it was a very small field of women. I'm not sure. I'm saying that, like, I don't know. There just, it wasn't a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how many people ran it, but
that's,
hey,
the humbleness in you, but you killed it.
Yeah. Like, so I did an extra mile. I was so mad because literally there was, I was like thinking the whole time, I'm like, wow, this is a really great course. Like there's cones everywhere. There's like people at every single intersection. Like there's, this is great. Like there's no way I'm going to get lost. I literally was thinking that, like how awesome this course was. And it was like at this turn that I took, there was a person standing there and he was directing me to turn.
Oh, and jerk.
I turned and I continue. And I'm like, well, what happened to the cones? There's no more cones. I already knew right there and then, as soon as I turned, I didn't see any cones, and but I still went. And I'm like, well, maybe, you know, I just kept going, but I'm like, I can't see anyone ahead of me. And I'm like, did the guys just like take off or something? Like, I can't see anybody. I just keep running. And I'm like, this is wrong, because I came into my first intersection. I'm like, there's nobody here. And this is not like the rest. That's exactly where, and not only that, I was running with traffic. And so there was cars, and I'm like,
this is a race, guys. What is going on?
This is a race. Like, what are you doing? Right. So at that moment, I knew what, but it was already a quarter mile. I was like, no, I'm going to wait until, and I looked behind me. There was nobody behind me. And I'm like, I'm going to wait till this big light. I see a light right here. If there's no one there, I know I'm going the wrong way. I should have turned right. It was like when my instincts told me, but I was like, there's no way this guy would have told me to turn. Like, he was like literally pointing this way.
What a jerk. Who does that?
I don't know. And maybe it was me thinking, I honestly don't know. And so I turned around because I'm like, this is a light. No one's here. I turn around and there's cars like coming towards me, and I'm like, I'm lost. And so I'm just going to go right back. And it was a half a mile. I'm like, already a half mile in. So half mile back, that's a mile. And I could just see people as I'm approaching the return, that people were just going straight. And I just see just all these people just going. And I'm like, there's going to be a girl up in there. And I just lost my first place. Like, I just know it. And
did you see that guy there still standing there?
Yes. And I said, you guys told me the wrong way. I was shouting. And he's like, we didn't see you. Like, what? It wasn't us. I just got here. I was like,
oh,
whatever.
Man.
Yeah, they were like just talking about how they didn't see me or something. I don't know. Okay. So got back onto the course, and it was cones and everything. So if you see my splits, everything was like 7 minutes, seven. Like, you know, I was just kind of chilling on this race because I was also feeling sick the week before. But anyways, it was like 7 minute pace. That was kind of what my goal was. Well, this 1 mile where I took off, it was like 6:15, six. So it's like random, like 6:15, just so I can get back to course.
Yeah. Gosh.
And then I try to settle back because I was like, this is going to kill me. This is going to kill me in the end because I just dropped my pace this fast in the middle of the marathon. So I continue on. And then here's all the cones, and there's everybody on the intersections. And I'm like, this is exactly what I should have just followed my gut first minute. But I'm
what stubborn. A way to regroup though. That's...
I regrouped. Yeah. So you'll see if you ever see my Strava, you'll be like, which mile did I get lost at?
I'll have to start following you.
Yeah. My Strava. And then, so I get back on track, and there's still, there's the half. So at this point, there's still half marathoners in the mix of the marathon. So I have no idea if any of these girls that are in front of me are in the marathon or not, but I'm like, the competitiveness in me is like, I just want to just win. Right. And then not only that, like as I finally got on the path, someone in front, one of the guys was like on the ground, like in front of me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? He's like, I just got hit by a car. So somebody like, and there was a police car coming. And so there was a lot of craziness happening in this race. Like some guy got hit by a car.
McAllen, like, oh, come on, guys.
Yes. So it was, and there was at that intersection where he got hit, there was a police car there directing, again, people directing, but the car passed without stopping. Wow. So anyways, I was like, oh my gosh, hope you're okay. I just kept running and finish off. So the end of the course, there was a part where you go out and back, and it was like a just go out and back. And I was so tempted to just be like, I already did my out and back. I kind of just want to turn here. I was like, no, I'm not going to get disqualified. So I did the little out and back. It was literally a half mile out, half mile back again. But you know, that part, that was my like, I just did a half mile.
Yeah, out I just did that.
Can I just skip this part? Like, it was y'all's fault. But no, I was like, I'm not going to do that and risk getting a DQ because I've had this experience of getting disqualified.
Yeah. Fresh in your mind.
Exactly. So I'm like, nope. So I went and I did my thing. But at this point, they had already told me, like, the half marathoners had split off. And there were people like, you're the first female. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, okay. And then I saw my family at this point. And my husband was like, I thought you were hurt or something. Like, where were you? You should have been here. Like, you know, I was like, I took a wrong turn.
Yeah.
So
some guy like, pretended to not guide me the wrong way.
I'm like, who do you work for? There's somebody out to get me. Do you work for that second place team?
Yeah, no, I was about to say, I was like, it was that team from the beach today. And I'm sure they're very nice people. We're just joking. But if that was y'all directing her, we're gonna.
Yeah, we forgive you.
we don't forgive you.
no lie, because I'm not gonna say this, but the individuals on that team had raced this race last year and actually won it the year before. One of the individuals, so did not cross my mind that it could have been real. And I'm like, she's probably running this race, and I just didn't see her. Like, she's probably here.
Yeah.
And then she probably paid these people to.
She's like, if you see this little girl here,
just tell her to go this way.
You tell her to go this way.
Anyways.
Conspiracy.
No, but at this point, everyone's like, I'm like, oh, like, am I the first one? They're like, yeah, just relax. You've got like such a good lead, like chill. Like, I'm like, okay. So like the last few miles, I was kind of like, relax.
Slow down a little bit. Yeah.
But still there was the competitive in me too. It was like, I want maybe sub 3. I think I probably would have had it not been
for that out and back, that extra out and back.
Yeah. I think it was going to be like a 302 or 303 or something like that. If I had,
well, I know that you said that race took place during Chevron weekend here in Houston.
Yes.
Have you ran Chevron Houston?
Yes, I have. That was an awesome race. I did a marathon. That was, right after I did my first marathon. I wanted like some redemption. I was like, I feel like I can break that 3:02. In fact, I'm going to go for 2:52. That was where I was shooting for at Chevron. And then I ran it and I was like 2:47. I'm like, what? I was so close to the Olympic trial qualify. I should have just gone for it at that point, but
come back and run it next year.
I definitely will. I think that's going to be the one I'm going for.
I'll be out there and then try to get a team for Texas Independence really, because I'll be out there too for that.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of friends of mine ran it this past year and it seemed like a lot of fun.
Yes.
So yeah, hopefully you can get in on that. Well, anyway, this was the first year you got to also run Boston too, right?
That was my first year. This was the real reason I started the marathon. I was like, I'm gonna do it. But of all
the things that we know about Boston, was it everything you expected it to be?
So I don't know what I was really expecting. Like, I just knew that this is something that everyone wanted to do. Like, I knew there was like something special about Boston. I was like, in fact, I wore this headband in the race, I think. Just thinking. I was just looking at myself. So what I did with Boston, I went over there because I, you know, everyone does it. It's like the race to do the marathon. And so I was like, well, I want to do it. And I didn't know what to expect. I just heard all these good things. But I remember going to Boston. There was this guy who was like, yeah, this is like my 18th Boston. I'm like, oh my gosh, how many times? Like, to me, I'm like, that's insane. Why? Like, I didn't understand it. Well, after I did the race, I'm like, oh, that's why. Like, it was so amazing. Like, I want to come back. So yeah, it lives up to everything you hear. And more because it was,
oh my god, you'll qualify for that race with maybe just even like an easy run for yourself. What is your easy pace?
Well, a good funny thing you ask. I'm usually like 9:50. Today my easy run was like 9:50. I'm all about the easy pace. Yeah. Some people have a really hard time running slow. I don't. Like, I'll run at like nines to generally easy runs, nines. If I run with someone, they'll end up carrying me along and I'll go with them. But if I run by myself, like I've been running for the last couple months, it's like 9:30.
Okay. I run nines and I can't fathom myself running a sub 3. Like I run, yeah. I run a 9, like easy pace, like a 9:15, 9:20.
Yeah. Easy yeah. Pace. That's about where I would be, 9:15.
So there's some hope for myself.
Yeah. I run, most of them are super easy. Like when I was in my peak fitness, I guess you could say, my like easy runs were like 8:45s, nines.
Okay. There's some hope for me to sub 3 maybe.
Some people like to run fast, like, you know, their easy runs are a little faster. I mean, I can run fast. So if I'm running with people and we're running easy, it's like 8:15, 8. I mean, it'll still feel easy, but I'm like, still like, I can go easier. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just giving my body like extra.
Okay. Like, so like a 9:15, 9:20, that's like my max easy, yeah. You know?
I think that's good for me. Like, that's where I feel like, yeah, very comfortable. I'm like, I'll go out there, I'll run. I mean, after like a certain amount, for whatever reason, like I'll naturally get a little fast. So like I'll start, my runs are usually like 9:45s to like 9:30s, like the first 2 miles. And then it'll like be like 9:15s, the middle piece, and then nines. And then if I'm doing like maybe eight miles, it'll, for whatever reason, it'll just go down. Like 8:30, 8:45. Like it'll end up getting faster, but it's very natural and it feels the exact same to me. Like I don't even push or I don't feel any faster. Like, I don't know what that is. And I think that has a part to do with just like the runner's high. You just start to like, oh, I just getting to a groove and you just start going faster. For me, like if you ever see like my runs, it's usually like that. It's like start really slow and then it just kind of naturally just gets a little faster, but it's not because I'm pushing or anything. Yeah, but the average is like usually about like 9.
Your legs are warmed up by that time.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So
yeah. Well, just to kind of start wrapping it up, like you have a pretty strong Instagram game.
Yeah, I love Instagram. I'm always on there. I love to share everything about running and
you've amassed a huge following in this time.
Yeah, I think that's happened over the pandemic. And that's just because I've had more time. I feel like the more you are on it and the more you engage and interact with your followers and things like that, that's just naturally and organically going to grow. Yeah. So I'm not just like posting and then leaving it and closing it off. So
no, you got some really good content. I like watching your stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I have fun with, mostly I do it because it's like my fun and I like to do it during I record myself in like while I'm running and stuff. It just like helps the miles go by since I'm not running with people.
I should. I never really thought of it that way. Like I'm always like, oh man, I don't want to be that guy that's like recording myself, but it probably does. Like when you're out there for that much time, it kind of just helps pass the time.
I wonder if people like see me and they're like, what in the world? Like, I don't know. I do it in my neighborhood and it's probably my neighbors. They're like, oh, it's just Erica.
Yeah. Well, if people wanted to get in contact with you and follow your story and follow your journey on Instagram, where can people find you at?
Well, running_OT is my Instagram and that's probably the best place to find me. I have Strava. I don't really know how to share that easily.
You don't want to share that just because people are going to start knowing where you're running and all that.
Yeah. I was like, I have Strava, but I don't know. That's kind of where you can find me on Instagram is the best place.
Yeah. Well, I hope you had fun sharing your story today.
Oh yes. I always have fun talking about running and sharing about where I've been. I think everybody has a story. And so I love listening to podcasts. I've enjoyed yours. And I know you've had some of my friends on. So you had Jessica and CJ. And
those shout out to Runner's Empire.
And Runner's Empire. That group is just phenomenal. They're a great group that I absolutely adore. So yeah, thanks for having us Runner's Empire peeps on here. Zach was on here.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll kind of wrap things up and let you go, but we'll be following you on your journey and can't wait to see where you take it next.
Yeah, awesome. Yes, we'll keep working, everybody together, chasing those goals.
All right, well, you have a good weekend and we'll chat soon.